The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I would like to say a few more words about the topic of seclusion. It's an important word in Buddhist meditation. And the most common way it appears in the teachings of the Buddha is, in English translation, is being secluded from sensual desires and secluded from unskillful or unhealthy mental states. But I think the word seclusion has a lot of negative connotations for people in English-speaking word. It can somehow feel like you're, you know, locked up someplace, and, you know. The literal meaning of the word in the ancient language is to separate apart, like you would to distinguish, and to distinguish things, to separate them apart. And you find that in other Indian religions besides Buddhism, the word for that we translate seclusion, which is viveka, is an extremely important word. There's a very famous teacher in the late 1800s named, very influential in the West, called Vivekananda. So he's the joy of viveka. And so if Buddhists would say the joy of seclusion, but because of it literally means distinguishing or separating apart, it's closely associated with wisdom, and especially liberating wisdom or discriminating wisdom, distinguishing wisdom. And so he's the joy of wisdom, of ultimate wisdom. So, and that's how it's understood more in the Hindu tradition. It's a very important word. So, but it's the idea of separating apart. And if you want to become your own teacher in meditation, find your own path and let, you know, unfold, it helps if you can start making simple distinctions of teasing apart things of what's going on. If your whole experience is just one big buzz of confusion, then, you know, it's hard to do anything with it. It's just a big amorphous. But if you can start kind of identifying different aspects of it, you can see different parts of your experience and you can find your way. When I was, many years ago, I read about a study, I probably have it not quite accurate, but where they took teenagers from New York City, inner city kids, to Costa Rica, and had them go into the jungle, and they would point things out in the jungle, you know, like there's the parrots, or there's the birds, there's the, you know, and these kids couldn't see anything, just for them it was just all a big blur. But the local teenagers could see all the details that jumped out. They were familiar with them. They knew how to tease apart. Their brains could distinguish all the details that someone who was unfamiliar would just all be a buzz. And my guess is if you did that in reverse, you took the teens from the rural Costa Rica and put them in the middle of New York City, it would all be a buzz. And, you know, amorphous. And so for many people, their own minds, their own inner life is just confusing enough. And what mindfulness practice, partly what it is learning to tease apart or distinguish the different aspects of what our interiority is like, what's going on in there. And so, you know, as some of you know, I mean, a big part of mindfulness is learning to be embodied, to recognize that we have an embodied physical experience. And that becomes a great gift to understand, to tune in, to be aware of what's going on in the body. There's a lot of self-understanding that comes from that, a lot of healing that comes from that, a lot of wisdom that can come from, you know, dropping in and really feeling, oh, this is how it is in the body right now. We tease apart our thinking, and we see that there's how we're thinking, what we're thinking about. We tease apart our emotions and start seeing that, you know, it's actually, you know, some detail there of the emotions, not just a buzz or something. And we see the relationship between these things. Once you can distinguish body and emotions and thoughts, then it's possible to see how they relate to each other. And that maybe that the thinking is maybe, for sometimes, is a big influence, casts a big shadow or big influence on our emotions. And sometimes what we're thinking is not necessarily healthy, not necessarily wise forms of thinking. But even so, it can be quite depressing or undermining us or distressing to have these thoughts over and over again. They say that one of the leading sources for stress and depression is rumination. So this idea of, you know, the impact, or sometimes it's the other way around. We have an emotion, and who knows why, and then the thinking mind makes a story about it, makes conclusions based on it. And I've done that. I was depressed once, remember, and I was very clear. I had this thought that had nothing to do with depression directly. It was like an interpretation or a conclusion based on it. And it was, I'll always be depressed. That was a depressing thought. And so it was kind of this, you know, loop that, you know, you get caught up into. And so by sitting back and being mindful, we start separating apart the things that sometimes we don't see because we're not really familiar with this inner landscape. And as we get more and more familiar with it, more and more things get teased apart, to get separated out, be distinguished, and then we become wiser. We can go through the jungle easily if we know, you know, how to read it. We can go through the, you know, what in Buddhism sometimes they call the mind a jungle. And, you know, so you can make our way through the jungle more easily if we see all the pieces and parts. And so this, so what I quoted earlier, secluded from sensual desires and secluded from unskillful or unhelpful states of mind, becomes teasing apart, distinguishing how we're caught and involved in sensual desire, comfort, pleasure, that is a huge draw for many human beings in one way or the other, or teasing apart and seeing clearly the distinction between what is healthy for our mind to be involved in and what is unhealthy, what is helpful and unhelpful, or in Buddhist language, skillful and unskillful. And so by making these distinctions and seeing, then we can start kind of gravitating in one direction or the other. We can seclude ourselves, we can not give in to, we cannot lean into, not be so actively involved in the things which are not useful and helpful. So the grossest idea of seclusion is that of physical seclusion, which I mentioned earlier, where you would go sit and meditate in a quiet place. You're not in a place where you get a lot of distractions, or even more importantly, a lot of temptations. It's probably not a good idea to sit down to meditate with a low table, say you sit on the floor, and in front of you is, you know, if you have all these things, your smartphone, your tablet, and your computer, and they're all open with all the notification signals, you know, ready to go, you know, on, and you're sitting there, and you know, it's probably not a good, you know, it's you should be, you know, if you meditate, you should best to seclude yourself, separate yourself from all those devices so they don't kind of grab your attention. And so to the physical seclusion to support, you know, the connecting to oneself more deeply in meditation. But once we start going in meditation, then there's this deeper form of seclusion when we learn to see what's going on in there and to recognize, you know, this thinking this way is not useful. Thinking this is undermining me, is taking energy away from me, is fragmenting me. And then say, oh, you know, I'm not going to invest in that, or I'm going to seclude myself or separate myself, or I'm going to go in the other direction. Certain ways of being involved with emotions. Maybe you can't choose what emotions you have, but how we relate to the emotions might be where we see, oh, that's an interesting way of relating. I hate what I'm feeling. You know, I'm feeling really discouraged, or here it is again. And there's all these reactions to it which are not helpful. To be able to see that with clarity, and to see it with a clear enough mind that is a little bit free, is the mind that can then choose to not latch on or get involved in those reactions, and maybe even choose to be involved in a different response. So it could be, you know, the emotions are strong and I hate them, or I'm dismayed. If one more time they're like this. And you say, well, I could keep going down that dead end of being dismayed and discouraged and all that. Or I could do something different. I can do something radical. I could just be aware of it without any judgments. So that, you know, that's kind of a choice, to be mindful in a non-reactive way. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that. It could be that you decide to have some compassion for those emotions, or kindness, or some other way. So as we begin to distinguish and see, we begin to seclude ourselves from the unhealthy directions, and we move more towards something that's more healthy and good. The advantage of that is, just like I talked about physical seclusion, is it's meant to be a way to start becoming unfragmented, not divided as a human being. And so even though we're teasing things apart, we're teasing apart, distinguishing what takes us away from being whole, what takes us away from being settled and open and present in a whole way, because a lot of these unhealthy impulses, thoughts, ideas tend to create divisions within ourselves. We're fragmented. One of the terrible divisions is when we hate part of ourselves. We're angry at ourselves. And then one part of ourselves is opposed to the other. And then we're not whole. We're divided. And so this idea of seclusion and separation from these unhealthy situations is not supposed to be exactly restraint or shutting down or blocking things out. It's actually the opposite. It's the opening up to something that's good inside, opening up to that what's healthy and flowing, that's deeper than our reactivity, deeper than our opinions and judgments and all that. And so what happens at some point, and the idea is to be turned inside out. Meditation is a way of going in, seeing what's here, finding out how to be here and from the inside out a healthy way, and then turning inside out so we bring that way into the world in a different way. So the example I gave before this morning was you're in a crowded mall and people are screaming and yelling. It's a sale of some, maybe major sale, and everyone's screaming and tugging at things and wanting things, and the music is blaring and you're trying to find your way and you hardly get around all the crowds. And is that about as bad as I can just describe it? And it's just, you feel harried, you feel afraid, you feel like you're, just can't manage. And then you duck into the mall's meditation room where no one else is there, and you meditate for a while and you get all peaceful and calm. And you've learned to identify, to let go of your thoughts and concerns and settle in. And then you feel a healthy sense of presence and calm. And then being turned inside out is you come back out into the chaos of the mall, but you bring your calm with you. And so rather than being feeling attacked or feeling like everything is influencing you and upsetting you and pulling you around, you walk with this calm that everything's kind of like, you're kind of like a little bit maybe in a bubble, and you're not letting things influence you, and you have a certain presence of mind, clarity of attention that does not overwhelmed by what's happening around you. So seclusion is this very important word in classic Buddhist meditation practice. It's meant to be a beautiful word, and it's a word that allows what's best in us to begin showing itself, and then the idea is to stay close to that, staying apart from what is unhealthy, and then be able to bring what's best of us into the world and turned inside out. So seclusion, viveka. May you really become your own teacher, your own guide, by looking and teasing apart what is most healthy for you as you sit, as you walk, as you live your life. And so you become secluded or separated from what is unhealthy for you to be involved in. may you be. May meditation help with great inner health. So thank you. And we have this period of cleaning now.